We are joined on the Comcast Business Hotline by our friend from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Pre, post, quick slant. He does it all, played in the league, won a Super Bowl. He joins us every Thursday, but because of a Thursday night game, he was kind enough to share, spend some time with us on a Friday night, and again on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Bear Brooks. What's up, B. Brooks?
What's up, bro? How's it going today, man?
Oh, it's going, man. They got a victory last night, 22-21, but they made us sweat.
No question, you know. And can you imagine me sitting inside that newsroom watching this game, and with 6 minutes left on the clock, we are down 21-10. I was, you know, pissed to the highest. I can't believe that we're playing against the Giants and we play that bad. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, so when Sterling Shepard went and scored that ball, 21-10, you did not have the opportunity to challenge because Doug apparently didn't get the flag out quick enough. I sat there and I'm saying 1-5-1. This is what it's going to be. But they found a way to come back, and they did so, B. Brooks, on the shoulders of Carson Wentz. Struggled early, but really came back to life at the end. What did you think of his play down the stretch with those two scoring drives? One to, of course, Greg Ward, and then the game winner to Boston Scott.
Well, first of all, can we go back and talk about them not going out and throwing the challenge flag? That situation right there, regardless of what they say up top, they should have thrown the flag, period, point blank. What is it? Was it like second or third down? They're going in. They should have challenged the spot, period, point blank. That should have been done. But then number two, at this point, Carson is at a point in his career where he has that clutch gene. There's no question about that. He has that clutch gene. But he works well in a frenetic type of zone. He's not a guy that's going to sit back and drop back in court in the pocket and throw the ball on time, get the ball out. He's not that type of guy. He needs to be moving around. He needs organized chaos to be successful. He plays well in those type of conditions, and we need to really put him in those type of conditions in which he plays, you know, at a higher level at. And you know, we talked about it in the post game show. You have to call plays in which you let him use his athletic talent to get out there and run around and put a team on his shoulders and play that way.
Why don't we see Doug Peterson call more things for him, move him out of the pocket, have him on the run a bit, where he is very successful and accurate?
Well, it's more so, I think, where they don't trust the fact that his health being an issue. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. At this point, I talked to Randall Cunningham when I played with him. He got hurt more when he was in the pocket. And I think Carson's the same way. Carson needs to get out and really be a guy that's going to work off his instincts. Go out there, because, I mean, he that's when he throws the best balls. Those are the times in which he runs the offense more efficiently. When you make him just sit in the pocket, he just doesn't do as well. It seems like the first quarter, when he goes down, scores in the first quarter, you know, that's when he's at his best, trying to get everybody to get accustomed to his style. And then in the fourth quarter, when the game's on the line, that second and third quarter is where he's not playing up to the expectations that I have for him. And that's basically what it is, and most Philly fans are. We want him to play up to the expectations. We've seen him play before. And when he doesn't play up to those expectations, that's when we have a problem with his play.
No, no question. And we saw the good and the bad of Carson Wentz last night, but he found a way to get it done. So as you said, Barrett Brooks joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Jump back as we talk about those two plays at the end where he helped win the game.
Well, I mean, it was just one of those things where they executed the play the right way. He went out and made something happen. And he was, you know, Boston Scott was not the primary on that play. You know, and, you know, to be all honest, when they got the holding penalty and they pushed him back 17 yards, I said, this is the best situation you could have put Carson in because he has more room to work with the field. He doesn't do well with making touch passes in the small areas, small windows. You know, when he throws the ball out to the running back in the flat, those aren't the plays that he really excels in. He excels in being out there and really putting the ball where it's not supposed to be. You know, he's more comfortable in situations where you allow him to be instinctual. And the ball that Boston Scott was just on the one, all the balls he, you know, the ball he got to the tight end, you know, those are all situations where he was out there using his athletic talent, being in a situation where he can go out and maximize his athletic talent. Mm-hmm. We got to get him in more rollout situations, waggle protections. Waggle protections are play action protections where they pull the guard on the outside as an escort to really help him get the ball down the field and press the defense, put pressure on the defense. That's when he feels most comfortable as a quarterback.
Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. B, I mean, the defense came to play as well down the stretch where you saw Brandon Graham once again, man, make a big play and help secure the win for the team.
Absolutely. You know, the guys up front, you usually say that the guys up front made the guys in the tail end look better. I really think that they played more closely on the wide receivers. They pressed them a little more, which allowed the guys up front, the defensive lineman, to really make an impact on the game because it wasn't a quick pass. He couldn't get the ball out fast because those guys are covering at a tighter, tighter presence on the wide receivers, mm-hmm. which gives them an opportunity now to make something happen with the quarterback. You know, and it really affected how Jones played in the game. You know, those are all entangled. And I think Swartz saw something this week in which he allowed them guys to go out there and blitz a little more mm-hmm. to put a little pressure on the young quarterback. And, you know, and that's what made the difference on how those guys played. They didn't want to blitz. You know, a guy like Jackson with the Ravens because they thought he could run around and make plays. But, you know, against Daniel Jones, they felt as though, yes, we could do that and put ourselves in a better position. We need to blitz everybody and put ourselves in a better position to just go out there and just ball. Impose your will on offenses. That's what we need to do, man.
Yeah, I agree, but we know that Jim Schwartz is just not going to dial him up like that. We know that.
We saw it, though. We saw it. So since we saw it, we need to go out there and do it and execute it. Say what you want to say. Our corners can cover. You know, all right, Cravon LeBlanc got beat a little bit, but he was playing tight on receivers. And I'll take that you know, him going out there and competing it against a guy like Golden Tate, as opposed to getting beat over the top where he wasn't even around the guy. Give me a situation where he can go out there contesting the pass as opposed to this guy running, you know, wide open and free. That's what we need. I need contested ball as opposed to guys running wide open.
And before we get to the next game against the Dallas Cowboys, of course, the Birds have some time off. I wanted to ask you about the offensive line, man. So much going on, right, with the offensive line. So many things. Now Lane Johnson going to be out again, this time with the knee. How did you assess their work last night in front of Carson Wentz with Jordan Mailata all the way over to the right side with Lane Johnson and then eventually Matt Pryor?
Well, Matt Pryor went out there and he played well enough to win the game, but he's going to have to get some reps at the first team and play there consistently for me to say, all right, I'm going to give him a thumbs up. Opeta, this is his first start really being an NFL starter. And I think that he played just okay. You know, he got beat a couple times, but that just comes with a young guy being out there for the first time with live bullets. You know, he played in the preseason where, you know, he had the opportunity to go out there and play. But it's totally different when you're going into the season and having the opportunity to play against guys that really are starters. You know, you play against guys that are trying to make the team when you play in the preseason. But when you're playing against starters like, you know, he was this year as opposed to last year against preseason, mm-hmm. it really steps the game up. You know, things go a lot faster. Your reads are a lot faster. You know, calls are a lot faster. And you got to get accustomed to the speed of the game. I think he'll play a lot better, you know, this week as opposed to he did last week. He should be the starter right now at the left guard position. I'm comfortable with him being there because he'll learn a lot. And, you know, the offensive line coach will get him ready for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, it's just one of those things where they have to learn in order for them to take that next step in the progression of being a player in the NFL.
All right, and finally, man, again, they're in first place, 2-4-1, which is ridiculous at this point.
Can you believe that?
No, I cannot believe that. I cannot. They have the Dallas Cowboys next Sunday. They get some extra time off. Dallas plays Washington this weekend. I mean, I know we're a ways away, and we'll talk to you on Thursday to kind of get things going, but just to look ahead a little bit. Right now, man, what number would you guess would win this division?
At this point, I'm really thinking that 7 wins will win the division.
Wow.
I mean, this is the battle of the least. And, you know, I mean, it just goes to show. The NFC East is at a point where it used to be just like the NFC West. You know, when I was playing, that's what the NFC West looked like. And the NFC East was actually, Arizona was in our conference back
then. Yeah, I remember that.
Back then.
Yeah.
They were in our division. But at this point, it doesn't matter. You know,
Jake Plummer.
Playing better. You know, so let's just take the reins. Because when you get in the playoffs, everybody's record is 0-0. Nobody has any wins. And if you get hot, there's no telling what you could do. So let's just get to the playoffs, you know. I'm not trying to hear everybody talking about, oh, you know, we're going to get in, we're going to get beat by the NFC teams, you know. I'm not trying to hear that. Once you get into the playoffs, everybody records the same. Hopefully we get a little healthier going into the playoffs if we do win the division. And there's ample opportunity for anybody to win. It's any given Sunday is what everybody's been saying for the past, you know, 10 years. So any given Sunday, the Eagles have a shot. Because they had the same record as everybody else going into the playoffs. So let's just get there first. Let's just win a division, get there first.
That's right. Get there first and see what happens, man. You had me thinking back when you said the Arizona Cardinals being right. In the division. I was thinking about Jake Plummer on those teams.
Eric Swan.
Aeneas
Williams. You know, there was a lot of players on that team. That was a good team. Seth Joyner was on that team.
Yeah.
Clyde Simmons was on that team.
How about that?
You know, Simeon Rice. There were a lot of players on that team. They had a pretty good defense. Offensively, they were pretty bad. But defensively, they had some guys that could go out there and play.
Was Thomas Jones on one of them? Remember running back from Virginia? Was it Thomas Jones? Number 20?
Yeah, Thomas Jones. He wasn't on that.
On those teams. Okay.
No.
All right.
But they did have Pat Tillman. Remember the guy?
Great Pat Tillman. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so their defense was pretty good. Offensively, they couldn't do anything, man. Jake the Snake wasn't worth his salt. Wasn't worth the taste of salt, you know, in the Badlands. But yeah, you know, like I said, we used to beat up on him a little bit.
Yeah, it was every now and then he would come here and get the best of the Eagles, and it was always frustrating.
I know, man.
Hey, B, listen, man, enjoy your weekend. You have your weekend off?
Oh no, question. Can you believe I'll be able to watch all of Saturday college football, but I'll be able to watch all the games on Sunday. This is going to be new. In fact, I'm gonna find me a couple wings. You know, you're more than welcome to come by, grab some of these wings, I'm going
to
do it up, man, this weekend. This is my first time in a long time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.